Nat nodded, flipped up the next card and showed the newlyweds. An eight. Dealer busted and she paid out their winnings. Let it ride! The bride whooped. They would keep their chips in play to see if they could double their holdings. It was a terrible idea, but Nat couldn't dissuade them. She dealt the next round. Good luck, she said, giving them the usual Vegas blessing before she showed them her cards. She was sighing. 21, the house always wins, there goes their wedding bonus, when the first bomb exploded. One moment she was collecting chips, and the next she was thrown against the wall. Nat blinked. Her head buzzed and her ears rang, but at least she was still in one piece. She knew to take it slow, gingerly wiggling fingers and toes to see if everything still worked, the tears in her eyes washing away the soot. Her lenses hurt. They felt stuck, heavy, and itchy. But she kept them on just to be safe. So her dream had been real after all. Drow bomb, she heard people mutter, people who had never seen a drow, let alone a sylph, in their lives. Ice trash. Monsters. Nat picked herself up, trying to orient herself in the chaos of the broken casino. The explosion had blown a hole in the ceiling and pulverized the big plate glass windows, sending incandescent shards tumbling down 50 stories to the sidewalks below. Everyone at her blackjack table was dead. Some had died still clutching their cards, while the newlyweds were slumped together on the floor, blood pooling around their bodies. She felt sick to her stomach, remembering their happy faces. Screams echoed over the fire alarms. But the power was still on, so pop music from the overhead speakers lent a jarring, upbeat soundtrack to the casino's swift fall into chaos as patrons stumbled about, reeling and dazed, covered in ashes and dust. Looters reached for chips, while dealers and pit bosses fended them off with guns and threats. Police in riot gear arrived, moving from room to room, rounding up the rest of the survivors, looking for conspirators rather than helping victims. Not too far from where she was standing, she heard a different sort of screaming. The sound of an animal cornered, of a person begging for his life. She turned to see who was making that terrible noise. It was one of the roulette dealers. Military police surrounded him, their guns trained on his head. He was kneeling on the floor, cowering. Please, he cried, collapsing into heart-wrenching sobs. Don't shoot, don't shoot, please don't shoot, he begged. And when he looked up, Nat could see what was wrong. His eyes. They were blue, a startling, iridescent hue. His lenses must have slipped off, or he'd taken them off when they burned from the smoke, as she almost did hers. The blue-eyed ones were said to be able to control minds, create illusions. Apparently, this one didn't have the ability to control minds or his tears. He tried to hide his face. Tried to cover his eyes with his hands. Please! It was no use. He died with his blue eyes open, his uniform splattered with blood. Executed. In public. And no one cared. It's all right, everyone. Move on. The danger's past now. Move along, the guards said, ushering the survivors to the side, away from the corpses in the middle of the broken casino. As a sanitation and recovery team began cleaning up the mess, moving the tables back upright. Nat followed the stream of people herded in a corner, knowing what would come next. RET scans and security checks, standard procedure after a disturbance. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the drill, an officer announced, holding up his laser. Don't blink, security officers warned as they flashed their lights. Patrons lined up quietly. This wasn't the first bombing they'd survived, and several were impatient to get back to their games. Already the craps dealers were calling out numbers again. It was just another day in New Vegas. Just another bomb. I can't get a read. You're going to have to come with us, ma'am, a guard said to an unfortunate soul slumped by the slot machines. The sallow-faced woman was led to a separate line. Those who failed the scans or carried suspect documentation would be thrown into lockdowns. They would be left to the mercy of the system, left to rot, forgotten, unless a celebrity took a shine to their cause. But lately the mega rockers were all agitating to restore the ozone. The only magic they believed in was their own charisma. It was her turn next. "Evening," Nat said as she looked straight into the small red light, willing her voice to remain calm. She told herself she had nothing to fear, nothing to hide. Her eyes were the same as the rest. The officer was roughly her age, 16. He had a row of pimples across his forehead, but his tone was world-weary, tired as an old man. He kept the beam focused on her eyes until she had no choice but to blink and he had to start over. "Sorry," she said, crossing her arms against her chest and struggling to keep her breathing steady. Why was it taking so long? Did he see something she didn't? She would hunt down the lockhead who'd conjured her rets if he'd proven her false. The officer finally switched off the light. "Everything all right?" she asked as she flipped her long dark hair over one shoulder. "Perfect." He leaned closely to read her name tag. "Natasha Kestel. Pretty name for a pretty girl." "You're too kind." She smiled, thankful for the invisible gray lenses that allowed her to pass the scan. Nat had gotten the job with fake papers and a favor, and as they waved her through to the employee lockers so she could change into a clean uniform and get back to work, she thanked the unseen stars above, because for now, she was safe.